adore you. We magnify you. Lord, we say you are God. And today we bring ourselves before you. Each one of us. Father God, you know us by name. From the day that we were formed in our mother's womb, you knew us. Father, our stories are before you. Father, today some have stories to tell. Some have questions to ask. Some have tears to shed. Father God, some have stories to celebrate about. Father, you know it all. And today, even as we come before you, oh God, I pray that, Father God, in the quiet, Father God, of our worship, Father God, in the noise of our worship, Father God, in the reflection of our worship, oh God, speak to our needs. Father, meet them according to your riches in Christ Jesus. Father, I pray, oh God, that our worship here and our gathering here will be unto you. And that, Father God, by the time we leave this place and want to go home, oh God, we will know that we've had an encounter with you, oh Jesus. Father, you know that you are already speaking to some of us. You're speaking to some people, meeting their needs. Lord, I pray that speak to us for the sake of Jesus Christ. Lord, we give you first place among us. We give you first place in our lives. We give you first place in everything that we do. We want to thank you for the gift of life. We thank you for the celebrations that we have. We thank you for good news that come to our lives. We thank you also, Father God, for the challenges that we face. And we know you're going to see us through. Today, speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Hey, I thank God for your life and thank God for Moses on our projection. You can give him a clap. All by himself under supervision. And we thank our young ones who collected the offering for us. We've said that the next generation of our church is the young ones that we have today. And the next generation of our future is the young ones that we have. The next generation of this nation is the young ones that we have. And we have to invest in them and encourage them. And when they do something good, please give them the thumbs up so that it will boost their confidence and give them some real energy to do even more. Having become a Christian in 1976, most of my life was spent in the charismatic and Pentecostal stream. During that time, we had opportunities to learn about spiritual gifts. But each time they talk about spiritual gifts, there were gifts that I thought I had or many other people had, but was never talked about because it was kind of a poured cold water on it. It didn't matter, apart from the headline ones, like speaking in tongues, like prophecy, like apostleship, teaching and evangelism and everything. And I'm thinking, but what about the rest? I myself have thought the gift of the Holy Spirit many times. But this time around, it has brought a new meaning to me. A fresh understanding that every part of the gift of the Holy Spirit matters. Whether it's a headline gift or not seen gift, it is as important as the other. It has made me understand 1 Corinthians chapter 12 when Paul, the apostle, wrote that we are a body and every part has its function. And the hand cannot say that it does not need the nose. Neither can the eye say, I don't need the feet. Every part of it. And if we all work together, then we glorify God and build up each other. And I thank God for that. We've spent over 2 months going through this, and today we want to bring in two topics, the gift of helps and the gift of hospitality. The gift of help literally means to take place of someone. The idea is, you see, I like the word to take place of someone. Something that someone else would do, but you have decided that you are going to do it, to take that person's place. So that means you do it as effectively as the person would do. You do it as energetically as the person would do. You do it as good as the person would do. you take the place of someone. The gift is a divine enablement. It's God's giving, Holy Spirit giving, to accomplish practical and necessary tasks. I like the word necessary. Practical and necessary tasks. Some tasks probably could not be necessary, but these are necessary tasks which free up, which support and meet the needs of others. So when you use this gift, you stand in the place of someone. What you are doing is necessary. What you are doing frees up someone. What you are doing supports someone. What you are doing meets a need of others. Hallelujah. And I'll just throw you some Bible verses that you can write them down. If for any reason you're not able to write them quick enough, please pick up the daily readings and you have a lot of information coming for you and you get these Bible verses as well. You see, where will someone with this gift serve? The person with this gift, for them, is whatever it takes. They have a whatever it takes attitude. You see, whatever it takes to support someone, to free up someone, and to meet a need, and to do a necessary task, they have that attitude. Hallelujah. They have whatever it takes attitude. And they are the people who have, what can I do to help you mentality. You see, them and they said, what can I do to help you? They have that kind of mentality. They cannot sit down to see that you are struggling to do something and they know they could do it. Or they know that even if they stretch their hand to do something, it will help you and to free you up to do something. They have whatever attitude. I mean, a few weeks ago, I could hardly bend. I don't know whether it was Sam and Ruth's fault. Has nothing to do with you. During their wedding, I was in so much pain, I couldn't believe it. And I was just hanging around in the post so that I can sit down and get up. They didn't see. They were so happy with their weddings. But that's all right. It was not meant for you to see. Anyway, this is chaff. Let's move on. They have that mentality. What can I do to help? The reason why I was saying that is that during the time that I could hardly do anything, there were some people, they had that attitude, that mentality that they would not even let me struggle to reach out some, not because I'm too big, it's just that they wanted to help. Where would someone with this gift serve? They will serve behind the scenes, wherever needed, to support the gifts and ministries of others. They will serve behind the scene. So you see where my problem was as a Pentecostal, as a charismatic. Here I was in the church. Here I was in the fellowship. Here I was in a Christian fellowship. And all that we talk about is some headline gift. And I'm thinking, but what about others that I see them working behind the scene, doing all sorts of things? It's like you have no spiritual gift. It doesn't matter. It's your job to do. They have a gift. They have a divine enablement. They have the Spirit of God using them to work behind the scene and to support wherever is needed and to make sure that the ministry of God goes on. They seek tangible and practical things to be done and they enjoy it. You see, things that are physical, things that are tangible, they love doing it and they enjoy doing it. I remember until we had some support and help in the church. I mean, one of the things that I love doing, right, is to go behind the scene, make sure that the lavatories are spotless, that you guys will come in and will be happy. Once I was just passing by and I saw some young adults sitting in the ladies' washroom eating crisps. And I'm thinking, that place must be spotless, must be smelling good. And I was so excited, even though I told them to get out. I was so excited. You just enjoy doing what you're doing, knowing that what you are doing makes a difference in the house of God. Amen? So it could be the job that nobody thinks about. It could be a job that nobody cares about. It could be the job that nobody thinks is worth doing. You know what? I appreciate those people who pick up our dustbins in front of us. Let them leave it for a month. And in this weather, it will be a mess. I appreciate them. And each time they're picking up and I'm around, I make an effort to say, thank you, sir. It makes them feel good. What they are doing is actually a good thing. And they do these practical things to help. They sense God's purpose and pleasure in meeting everyday responsibilities. That means they sense, what is God saying? What they are doing, they sense that what I'm doing actually is unto God. It's unto God. And as I do it to meet everyday needs, God is my reward. God is my portion. God is my blessing. God is my responsibility. He will take care of my situation. They attach spiritual value to the practical things they are doing. So what they do, they don't only see it as normal thing. For instance, if you clean the front of the forecourt, it's as if you say, God, you know what? I'm sweeping away all them demons and all that powers of darkness and all that filth that brings to the church. Not only physical filth, but the spiritual filth. I'm sweeping them away. I don't want the house of God to be seen that way. I want to cleanse it like Jesus Christ was cleansing the temple. Something like that. They love doing things like that. Hallelujah. They attach spiritual value to the things that they do. So the things that they do is not just work, but they are doing something important. They enjoy knowing that they are freeing up others to do what God has called them to do. They know that what they have done, if they do that to free others, then God is going to reward them. And I was helping these young adults to manage their finances, and I saw people carrying things up the place for me because I could hardly carry up those things. And as they did that, it freed me up to even put my notes together. And these things are honorable things, and they enjoy doing it. Even if you don't say thank you, they know that their thank you comes from the Lord. Now let's pick a guy that I love. Spot on Stephen and Philip. See, there's a reading in Acts chapter 1, verse 1 to 8. There was a time when the first century church was growing rapidly, and things were moving on, and there was a whole lot of excitement. The power of God was there. They were speaking in tongues, healing people, casting out demons. The word of God was being exposed in a powerful way. Yet in the church, there was a little bit of chaos, disorganization, dysfunction. People were complaining, oh, I'm not getting this. I'm being discriminated against. I'm being overlooked. I'm being that. Some widows were. And people say, oh, well, because we are Hellenistic, that means we are from the Greek original, the Mediterranean Christians, and you are from the Jewish Christians, we are not being actually treated as equal. There was that kind of chaos, and it does happen in church as well. And the apostles said, you know what, it's not good for us to spend our time to do these things. They know what their top three gifts were. So we want to give ourselves to prayer, the teaching of the word, and to build up the church. So appoint some people that will prove them, people full of faith, and the Holy Spirit, and they prayed over them, and they released them. And when they released them, the Bible said there was order. We never heard about complaining in the church anymore. And the ministry of these people brings order in the church. See, those with this gift, they bring order in the church. When there's chaos and dysfunction, they bring sanity and order in the church. They are humble people. I mean, Stephen was a humble man. Why do I know that? Because as you read on, you see that the guy was so in tune with the Spirit of God. Because what they start, the first thing that he was full of the Spirit and full of faith. You see, you don't overlook people with the gifts of helps. They are people of faith. They believe in God. They believe in the church. They believe in what God is doing. They believe in the people who are standing in front doing things. They believe in supporting the cause of God. They believe, they see the big picture of what we're doing. It will bring an outcome that will benefit God and that will benefit the church, that will glorify God. They see that. And for that reason, they do what they do. So as people overlook them, they don't complain. And Stephen and Philip, the Bible said they were full of the Holy Spirit and faith. And this guy knew the word of God so much that even those who people who knew and who could challenge them, who were educated in the word, could not stand them because they knew the word of God. And they literally dismantled their argument. And yet, that was a gift of helps. Praise God. They were humble people. For them, it is not about status. For them, they just, or where they serve, For them, they don't feel devalued in whatever they do. They are men and women who are known to be full of wisdom and the Spirit. You see, you got to have wisdom to be able to see things and want to go in to help, isn't it? People who do not have wisdom, when they see things, they just go away. Some people in their own room, they can't see that it's dirty. Are you following? That is lack of wisdom, folks. You see, wisdom is the ability to spot and do the right thing at the right time, given a scenario. When there's dirt, you clean, isn't it? If you're not cleaning, you're not applying wisdom, folks. You see, so they are full of wisdom and full of the Holy Spirit. Where things need to be done, they see it and they're humble. They're not saying, oh, Pastor Guido, you didn't even say thank you, so I'm so upset. No. They know their blessings come from God. It doesn't come from man. They're very humble people. Do you have that gift? They are responsible people, reliable people. They are dependable people. They are not careless people. They choose Stephen, as the Bible says, because he was full of Holy Spirit. And they mention other names. Their gifts free up. We say full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit. Yes, so their gifts free up other ministries for the word of God to spread. Their gifts free other ministries for the word of God to spread. Because each time they exercise their gift, they are saying, you know what? I am freeing you. If you are a preacher, I'm freeing you from coming to clean. If you are somebody who is saints, I am coming to pull those cables together so that you don't have to learn how to put them together and so that you can be free to worship God so that the church will benefit. They are there doing all sorts of things. They always see the big picture. I'm repeating it. They always see the big picture. And they know that when they do that, the work of God will be freed up. You see, the church's ultimate goal is to let people get to know God and know him up close and personal. The church's ultimate goal is to let people know God up close and personal and also to have a relationship with Jesus. The church's goal is to make sure that even as we have relationship with Jesus Christ, we can approach the throne of grace with boldness so that we can receive mercy. That is the church's goal. The church's goal is to rescue the perishing. The church's goal is for us to know the God that we are serving. And these people will free them up. This coming Saturday, if you're here and you haven't done walk through the Old Testament before, we want to encourage you to come and learn to know about God so that you can engage with the Word of God better and to know the God of the Bible better so that you can tell other people. If you're here, you've done it before, but you know somebody who could benefit from knowing God, even somebody who's never become to faith in God, we know that people actually get to know God up close and personal on walk through the Bible. And I will encourage you that if you know someone this Saturday, 11:30, please encourage them to come right here and we will help them out. Let's spot another guy that I like. I say don't overlook Joshua. See, people like Joshua, they hear the voice of God in doing practical things to support the worship of God. If you read the rendering in chapter 33 of Exodus, verse 10 to 11, you realize that Moses was with the disciples, was with the elders, and they ate in front of God. They saw God. And then after they've done that, God said, leave the elders there and come with me. And guess what? The Bible said, Joshua went with him. And this was when he was going to receive God's guidelines, what we call normally called the Ten Commandments. Even though when we are reading, we don't say Joshua was there too, but he was there. Wherever Moses went, he was there in case he needed some tables to write on. He was there to provide it. It didn't say. But he said he was Moses' servant. And he went to the mountain with Moses. Think about that. So these people who have the gift of helps, you see, they will go to every extent. And when somebody has anointing, they will be there to receive the anointing too, because they are there as servants to help. So whatever anointing that you receive, they will be there to receive it too. He was a willing and passionate servant. They are willing people. They are passionate. They don't want to lag behind. So how come my church leaders then, I don't blame them, how come they never taught me that that gift actually is a passionate and willing spirit, and it's a spirit that wants to get into the deeper things of God and want to be at the forefront of things, but in the supporting role? How did I not learn that until so many years? Joshua was a willing servant. They hear the voice of God in doing practical things to support the voice, the worship of God. You see, so whatever Moses heard, he heard. Even when Moses was coming down and was complaining that I hear some voices, this can't be the voice of people who are at war. This can't be the voice of people who are in trouble. Surely there must be some commotion in the camp. And who was he talking to? He was talking to Joshua. He was there. He hears. And Joshua answered and said, surely this is not a voice of war. But the people seem to be very happy. So Joshua will hear the voice of God in doing practical things. So if you have this gift, you make an effort because you want to draw closer to God at every level, wherever you are supporting, you want to hear the voice of God, and that is exactly what you will do. You want to hear the voice of God. You can't persuade them out of a tax. They have what I call stickability. You see, even when you tell them, stop doing what you're doing, you're doing too much, they do not want to stop. Until the cause of God is established, until they've done that. And there are some people in this church, sometimes I see them working, I'm thinking, oh gosh, you are so, so tired. Can you go home? And they will not. They will stick until they've seen the end of the work. Hallelujah. You see, there are so many, but for argument's sake, let me mention David and Declan. Right? They are building managers. I was so overwhelmed, and I would never stop saying this. It doesn't mean that other people don't do things. They had to clear up that place. And I said, Declan is a white guy, but he was blacker than me when I saw him one day. The filth has made him so black. If it hadn't been for the white overall he had, I wouldn't have recognized him. And I see David. And they put loft insulation all over the place. And I'm thinking, this is not the work of a human being. This is the job that you pay so much money for people just to do because it's hard work. And they did that by themselves. I remember some time back, it was raining. And you know, women, especially our kind of women, their hair is delicate. Their hair and water don't mix unless they want to wash it. And sometimes it would be raining out there, and I see Monica just cleaning up the place. I say, Monica, can you stop and come in? She has stickability. There are many more people. Time will not permit me to mention names, but I'm just trying to tell you. They know their practical help contributes to the spiritual value of what God is doing with his people. They see this, and therefore they press on. And if you look at Joshua, that is exactly how he saw it, that his practical help contributed. So after Moses has left the tent of meeting, the Bible said Joshua remained there. I wonder what he was doing. Probably cleaning, probably tidying up, probably making sure that the next time that Moses comes in, the place is ready for him to worship so that God will meet him and meet his people. After everybody is gone, they are always the last to leave. And we have people in this church who give so much. You come and they straighten up all your chairs for you. You come and all the mess that you leave, they sweep them away. And you'll be thinking, they are first in, last out. This sounds like a accountancy to me. First in, last out. And there are many people like that in similar ministries. They give their best. There are many people like that sitting behind the sound desk. and the cameras, first in, last out. Many people doing things like that. It may not be their top gift, but it's something that they have. Traits of people with this gift. I want to rush through this. I think I've gone a little bit too far. Where am I? Okay. Traits of people with this gift. You see, this gift is prominent with gifts of healing. People with gifts of healing, or where there's a healing ministry, you see this gift in operation. Where there's creative communication, you see this gift in operation. Where there's administration, you see this gift in operation. Where there's craftsmanship, miracles, and miracles and teaching, there's this gift in operation. These people will say, I'm available, I'm on hand to help you when needed. They are willing and enthusiastic services will be always available for you. They are helpful, they are cooperative, they won't fight you, you know. They won't come and fight you, they will come and help you. And some of the people who have this gift that I've dealt with in this church, they never once fought me. They always, it's like, whatever it takes. They are cooperative. They try to understand you, what you want them to do, and they will do it and do it well. And sometimes they come to you and say, is that what you want? They do not argue with you. They are cooperative. They are loyal, faithful, trustworthy, devoted, dedicated, dependable. Those are the kind of people that we have. Now let's look at the next gift. The gift of hospitality. The gift of hospitality. The gift of hospitality literally means to love strangers. Somebody who is a stranger is somebody you are not very familiar with, right? You are an Englishman, so you can tell me. Somebody you are not familiar with is a stranger. It doesn't matter whether you've seen that person all the time, the person is still a stranger because you don't know the person. They love strangers. People with the gift of hospitality love strangers. The word there should be hospitality. You can quickly type over for me. The gift of hospitality is the divine enablement to care for people by providing fellowship, food, and shelter. By providing companionship. You create the stream. You create the avenue. You create the environment for people to build relationship. You create the environment for friendship. You create the environment by providing food. That's what we do after church, don't we? We create that environment. We give you food so that you can hang around, so that you can talk to somebody, so that the person does not become a stranger anymore. So that you begin to know the person. They provide shelter. That's why sometimes we say invite people to your homes. It's important. This gift meets new people. And when they meet new people, they will help them feel welcomed. One day we'll have someone with the gift of creative communication and craftsmanship to clean up our computer so that when I press the button, it works. Amen. Amen. Right. So when they meet new people, they would like to help them and make them feel welcomed. That is what hospitality does. That's what the gift of hospitality does. There's a gift where the people who are in that ministry, they are never lacking zeal, but they keep their spiritual fervor serving the Lord. When they serve with much zeal. That means with much enthusiasm, they really, nothing will stop them from doing what they have to do. They are single-minded, they are focused, they want to see that work. And there are people who also would love to keep their spiritual life up. Are you following? You see, I said those with the gift of help are wise, they have faith, and they know the word of God, they are humble. Now, people in hospitality, hear me. You should be someone who will literally want to keep your spiritual fervor high. when you serve the Lord. You see, you will not be a blessing to anybody. Otherwise, anybody can put food there for people to eat. You know what? When you are in that gift of hospitality, even as you prepare the food and you put it down, your prayer that God, anyone who eat this food will eat as if they are eating the bread of life. If they are hungry, let them be sustained. If they are lonely, let them have companionship. You begin to see things that normally other people will not see. You yourself, you keep your spiritual fervor up. You want to be spiritual in everything, even though you are doing practical things. So it's not just like, I come, I prepare food and move it out. You see, so I become a little bit weary when we do not see such gifts as spiritual gifts. They are powerful gifts. So if you're in that gift, that ministry, do that. And when you do that, even if the food is not nice, it is going to be tasting nice. But I thank God in this church, we say that we don't want cheap food for people. Because the food that you will not buy out there to eat, why do you want church people to eat? You answer me. So I don't like Tesco Valusia, not because I'm snobbish or I have money or anything. I don't like ice the price here. They are full of sugar. It will give the people sickness. And then we have to pray to heal them. What sort of burden is that? It's not common sense here. So give them good food. Give them the very best if you can afford it. They are never lacking in zeal, but keep their spiritual fervor up, serving the Lord. And the verse keep on saying, when you do that joyfully. When you do that hopefully. You do that with patience. You do that faithfully with prayer. You share with the Lord's people who are in need. And the command is, therefore, practice hospitality. Or another way to put it, this is how to practice hospitality. Keeping your spiritual fervor up, as if you're serving the Lord. Keep your hope up, being patient and being faithful and being prayerful. And serving people in need is practicing hospitality. And these people keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. As I said, if you love one another as brothers and sisters, you give them your heart, isn't it? I know some people don't love their brothers, they don't love their sisters, but that is their problem. Some even don't love the very mothers or the fathers who brought them to this world. That is your problem. I'm not saying they are perfect. I'm a parent, I'm not. But I get things wrong sometimes. But what we're saying is that, he said, love one another as your brothers and sisters. The Bible said, how can you say you love the Lord if you do not love your brother? Then your love is fake. That's what 1 John 4 tells us. You see, so people in this ministry, they serve people like they're loving themselves. They're loving their brothers and sisters. They serve them as their brothers and sisters. Because sometimes when you go to some parties and there's somebody like your brother or sister come and visit you, what do? You give them the best, don't you? So why in a ministry like that you will not give them your very best? Serve them as your brothers and sisters. Don't yell at them. At some point, I had to retire some people from our hospitality ministry because even though these people have such an amazing servant heart, yet they did not honor people as their brothers and sisters. They did not treat them well. So I had to say, no, we don't want this gift. Sometimes we have to take the hard decisions because we want people to use the spiritual gift, not just to do work. Are you with me? We want to value people. It says, do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. Folks, where is this gift manifested? Ask the woman of Shunem, or the Shunammite woman. Let me tell you a story very quickly. Here was a woman, she happened to be wealthy, right? With a husband, elderly. They live in a town called Shunem. And there was this man, a prophet, his name was Elisha, who used to come and out. And he was traveling. Apparently, he was bald-headed. So imagine in that culture, probably the sun was shining on his hair. And he must be quite tired and sweaty. And he kept coming with his servant, following him. And this woman would look at him, go in and out. And one day went to his husband and said, "Darling, you know what? I see this man going in and out. Shall we invite him to stop? I'm sure his journey must be long. Shall we invite him to stop so that we can make food for him, so that he can have a respite with us?" The husband generously agreed. So each time this man is making his journey, he will stop. The prophet, I meant Elisha. And he will eat with them, chill out, rest, and probably have a shower, and then continue. Then it got to a time that the lady said, "You know what? I think we should actually make a lot, we should have a loft conversion in our home. And make sure that this time he will actually sleep over and have a good rest with his servant, not only eat." That is a woman with hospitality spirit in her who has that giftedness. And by doing that, she was able to, and the family were able to form a good relationship with the prophet and the servant. They became friends. So when you open your home to strangers, you are practicing hospitality. And the Bible said, you do not know, by opening your home to strangers, you may be entertaining angels. You don't know whom you've opened your home to. Irene and I have been married for 27 years. And at least 20 years of them, we've always had somebody in our home. Most of the time, we didn't even know who they were. Canadians, Hungarians, Slovakians, Americans, Ghanaians, Dominica, so many other countries. Always with somebody in our home. And most often, we didn't even know them before. Rent free, food free, charge free, everything free. We love doing that. You see, and some of them are just aliens. Not aliens like they look different. They're people that sometimes they hurt and they're suffering. Nobody cares for them. They have no parent, nobody here. They've come from far, far countries. They need somebody to look after them. So guys, practice hospitality. That's the woman of Shunem. They create safe, provide an environment where people feel valued and cared for. Meet new people and help them feel welcomed. Right. They create a safe and comfortable setting where relationship can be developed. They seek ways to connect people together into meaningful relationships. They set people at ease in unfamiliar surroundings. Let's pick another woman who happened to be in this church, or somebody in this church, called the name Lydia. I'm only talking about you. Not quite. Lydia in the Bible. Now, Lydia in the Bible, she actually is from Thyatira in the province of Macedonia in Philippi. Right? And this woman also happened to have some wealth. So it's not only wealthy people who have that gift, you know, but it happens that she was cited as one of those people. Because if you don't have home, you cannot invite anybody to your home, isn't it? Anyone has home here in this church? Yes? Anyone sleeping rough? No one. So you guys have home. So you are capable of having that gift, aren't you? You see, so Lydia, literally, she was somebody who was, the Bible said, she had a heart for God. You see, she had a heart for God. See, and people with this gift, they will gather where people pray. You see, people with this gift are prayerful. Hear me again. People with the gift of hospitality are prayerful. So, guys, if you are in that ministry, you've got to be prayerful. Because you have people's life in your hands. You have people who will pass through your hands. You're going to feed them. You don't want to feed them poison, right? You were telling me that your brother-in-law's brother got poison? Sister's, I mean, whatever the connection is, they get confused. Sister's brother-in-law, right? Somebody owed him, and the person is not willing to pay, but somehow invited him to a meal. He has to talk about it, not knowing to put poison in the food and the person died. I'm thinking, that's a very quick way not to pay the debt, isn't it? But one day you have to pay the debt to God. But that is not the point. If you are in hospitality, you are prayerful so that you don't poison nobody with your food, okay? We don't want nobody to have food poisoning in the church. Not only for that reason, but they are praying people because they see a need somehow and they want to. They are praying people who are connecting people to others. They are people through their giftedness are providing a safe environment for people to sit in and to actually build relationship. That's the kind of people that we are talking about. So they are prayerful. They will come to Friday prayer meetings, folks. If you're in hospitality and you believe God has called you into that ministry, Friday prayer meetings is for you. Are you hearing that? Say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Maybe you'll be sitting there, I'm thinking, I have that gift. As soon as I talk about prayer, oh no, I don't have the gift anymore. You see, the Bible says God cannot be mocked. You see, we're not doing it for anybody. If you are in this ministry, you gather where people pray. And that was Lydia. You see, when Paul went to Philippi, he was looking for a place where people gather to worship God. And he went to a place of prayer. And when he went, he saw Lydia there and other women. She was a worshiper of God. And the person loved the Lord. So people with this gift, they love the Lord. Because what they are doing actually is showing love and kindness. Love and kindness to people. And therefore, they will open their hearts to do the very best that they had to do. Lydia was open to the message of God. You see, that means they go to church too, you know. Are you hearing this? You see, some of you in hospitality, I'm addressing you directly, you only come to church when you are in ministry. Or some of you in other ministries, you only go to church when you are ministering. That is not God honoring. Say amen to that. Only a few, those who are guilty will not say it. That is not God honoring. You see, I'm here, I'm not afraid to tell you the gospel of the truth. Paul says in Romans chapter 1, verse 6, he said, because it's the power of God unto salvation is that which will get you out of trouble. Is that which will get you into the kingdom of God. Is that which will get you before God. Your eternal destiny is defined by hearing the word of God and hearing truthfully and doing what is truthful. Is that okay? So if I refuse to tell you the right things, I'm not doing you any good. It's just like having a child and knowing that they're going wrong and you're not correct them. One day, they will put a rod on your back. Is that true? Exactly. So, folks, don't take offense, but I'm not afraid to tell people the truth. I don't have to mix it with olive oil. Lydia was open to the message of God. Press the button for me, please. Lydia was open to the message of God. She was responsive, open-hearted, and receptive. When you ask them to do something, they're there to help you out. She was generous with her money. Very kind-hearted person. And I know this Lydia is generous with her money. Sometimes I ask her, where do you get the money from? And she only works part-time. Amazingly generous person. When you have this gift, you are generous. Their homes are always open to strangers. Lydia's home was a safe and comfortable setting where people will gather. When Paul, after being whipped, lashed, and put in prison, and led the jailer to Christ, and they released him, you know where he went? The Bible said he went to the house of Lydia. Verse 40 of Acts chapter 3, Acts chapter 16, verse 40, said they went to the house of Lydia. And they gathered with other people. And I'm sure when they went to the house of Lydia, she did not just look at them, but they would have literally nursed Paul's souls at his back, look after him to make life a bit more comfortable for him. They have that kind of heart in them. You can't fault them. They don't do it as a work. I'm bringing this to a closing, so if I can pick the traits up to go. Right, they are friendly and pleasant people. And this gift is prominent with those who also have the gift of giving, intercession, and mercy. Those with the gift of mercy, intercession, and giving, it's likely they will have this gift of hospitality too. Those with this gift are gracious. They are polite. They are courteous. They are well-mannered, kind. They are generous and charitable. You see, in this church, if you serve in hospitality and you are not generous, you are not kind, you will not enjoy it. Because the kids sometimes come and mob you. They come and take the food, they bite, and then they throw it on the carpet. And they come for another because they didn't like that one. They forgot that they took it from somewhere else. And sometimes they come and pile the food, and you know there's no chance under the heavens that they can eat it. But they will pile it anyway. It's annoying, isn't it? But then you have to be gracious. You have to be polite. You have to be well-mannered. You have to be kind. You have to be generous. You don't have to scream at them. Yeah? You see, I had to retire some people from hospitality ministry. I'm telling you, these are facts in this church. You see, there was a time in this church that when we come, we used to have every month we ate together as fellowship meeting or something, or when we have guest services. And when we have guest services, some of the best food will be kept and covered. And then will be dished to close friends. And then some will be covered and brought to the pastor to eat. And I'm thinking, I feel so bad. Paul is not eating the same thing that I'm eating, which I think he would love to eat. So he'd be thinking, where is this food? I'm thinking, I don't know. Somebody gave it to me because I'm a pastor. You're not. I felt so bad. So I'm thinking, I can't eat those. So I got to Paul. I said, look, I will not eat this food unless everybody else is eating it. Are you with me? And they're not prepared because they want to treat some people differentially. I said, sorry, you can't continue in this ministry. Are you with me? Because they are not gracious. So if you have that gift, even if when you have a party in your home or you go to a party or a wedding and you are put in the kitchen, please don't keep the best food and then put in the bowls and go home with it. It's supposed to be served to the guests. Are you with me? I'm talking to some people right here. Is that true or not? I'm talking to some people right here. Please give it out. Be gracious. Be polite. Be generous. Be charitable. Yeah? There are people who are inviting and people who are engaging. They are trusting. They are faithful stewards of God and God's grace as well. They are caring and loving. And they love deeply. Because of deep love in them, they just pour out their hearts. They are warm and welcoming. They're from South Street Baptist Church. Hallelujah. They are not grumbling. Or they are not grumblers. Or discriminating in their service. They are not harsh towards people either. So the conclusion of this matter is, these two gifts, helps and hospitality. These are gifts that help to grow a church and retain people. I said the scriptures, and that's the conclusion that I came to. They are gifts that help to grow a church and retain people. So the question is, where are the leaders in our church? Where are the Stevens, the Phillips, the Joshuas, and the Shunammite women in South Street Baptist Church? God bless you.